Well, it's long overdue due to our short shows the last couple of Tuesdays because of A's baseball. We've missed Charles Davis, but guess what? We have got him right now, and we are delighted. Charles,
yes.
Great to have you on. It's Grant and Doug. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's great to talk with you guys again. I hope you're both well, and I can't believe we're – aren't we in media days now for the Indiana?
Yes, we had media day.
Yeah. We're there.
Hey,
I
listen.
Can't wait.
The first preseason game is on Monday, if you can believe that.
It's coming fast and furious already, oh. Charles.
That's
amazing.
Great. Well, hey, that's good.
Charles, last week you were in Kansas City doing the game on Fox when they played Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And you made this comment, and Doug and I have been talking about this the last couple of weeks. I don't understand, or maybe I do because of postseason failures, why more people don't appreciate what Alex Smith does for the Kansas City Chiefs.
It's really kind of crazy, isn't it? You know what I think part of it is? We form opinions, and then we don't like to change them. Or we kind of form the opinion, move on, and we freeze it there. To me, it's similar to when I visit the University of Tennessee, my alma mater, and I go by the athletic department, I go by places that I've been before,
mm-hmm.
If anyone is still around that knew me when I was a student, they have me frozen at 18 to 22. They still talk to me like that. You know, they still kind of refer that way. I'm not saying they haven't evolved me in some ways.
Right.
But most of it is still centered around this is the 18 to 22-year-old guy. And that's just kind of a normal thing, I think, for people. You freeze something, that's all she wrote. I'll give you a quick one other quick example. Alex Smith came out of University of Utah as the number one overall pick in the draft. This guy carries some cachet, right?
You right.
His style of play is he's a mobile, cerebral quarterback, okay? Very accurate throwing the football. Took care of the ball when he was in college. Gave defenses fits because he could run it and then throw it. Comes out. When Marcus Mariota was coming out in the draft, I was asked to compare him to someone, and Alex Smith was the first thing that came to mind. And right before we went to the draft, an executive grabbed me and said, "You can't compare Marcus Mariota to Alex Smith. Whoever drafts him, that fan base will lose their mind. This is a bad comparison." I said, "What do you mean it's a bad comparison? It's the perfect comparison." "Yeah, but Alex Smith, if they hear that, they'll go, 'Oh, my God, he can't be that good.'"
Mm.
See? And that's what Alex has had to battle. And that's why I also said during the game, when he made that throw late on a second down and stuck it when they could have just run out the clock.
Right.
That's why I said he's the most confident quarterback in the league right now, because Alex Smith's been places, the depths of places, where people don't believe in him. And now he's reaping the benefits where people are saying, "Oh, he's actually pretty well. He's got targets he can throw to downfield. He's got a running game behind him." We're seeing all this come together, and I don't think there's a small part that drafted Mahomes may have lit a little extra fire in him.
Yeah, great point.
That's where I was going, actually, is how much of that do you think Mahomes being behind him, the ability for Mahomes to, you know, bomb the ball down the field, and Alex is kind of out there going, "You know what, don't forget what it is that I do."
Yeah, I think it's a combination, Doug. I think that the Mahomes it wasn't even a gentle push. I think Mahomes was drafted for a specific reason.
Mm-hmm.
They lost at home in the playoffs to Pittsburgh last season. The defense gave up 6 field goals, never a touchdown, and they lost the game.
Right.
And that inability to push the ball, force it, because Alex has done a great job of taking care of it. One of the faults you would find, though, is his yards per completion or yards per attempt is pretty low.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at it that way, you're like, in the playoffs, there's times when you have to take that shot and take that throw. And what I've been fond of saying, when I say fond, what I've been saying frequently is 3rd and 7 – one thing about Alex Smith, if the defense is only going to give you 6, he'll take 6.
Mm.
Well, as John Madden always used to say, if it's 3rd and 7 and the defense gives you 6, that's not good enough.
Yep.
You got to find a way to get 8. And this year Alex is finding a way to get 8. And Mahomes' ability to take that shot, that big arm, the way he played at Texas Tech, make no mistake about it, it was a clear message. The best part, though, is Alex Smith took on the challenge.
No
and
doubt.
And not only did he take on the challenge, do you know he was the first guy to welcome him to Kansas City?
How about that?
That's amazing.
Called
wow.
him and said, "Hey, I'll be there." And
class.
I know this to be true. He told him privately, You will never have any trouble with me, Pat Mahomes. I will not be the one in the locker room bad-mouthing you. I will not be trying to get guys on my side.
Wow.
I'm not afraid to any discord. I'm going to compete. You're going to compete. But I'm going to help you along the way.
Awesome.
Now Alex Smith is in a great spot.
That's great. Charles Davis from Fox joining us here on Sports 1140 KHDK. On Sunday, you were in Nashville, and you got to look at the Seahawks. And, you know, when you look at their game last week against San Francisco, had it not been for the scrambling ability of Russell Wilson, they probably don't win that game. We talk about their offensive line. We talk about the problems with this team. What did you see?
They are like a baseball team to me. On defense, strong down the middle. Get two monster tackles in Sheldon Richardson, Jaron Reed. Bobby Wagner is a Pro Bowl, All-Pro middle linebacker. And the two safeties are as good as it gets in the game, Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas. So that's what you want on defense, strong down the middle. And, of course, they got plenty of other players like Richard Sherman, et cetera. On offense, though, all right, so if defense, if they are what you would call good field in baseball, they are no hit on offense in football. All right, and I don't mean being physical. I mean
right. Scoring.
Being able to score ball points. They don't do it very well. The best way they do it is when they're a little more up-tempo, a little more wide open, let Russell Wilson create. Because that offensive line is still struggling. They can say what they want. The proof's in the pudding in the first three games. Russell Wilson has to make a lot of magic with his legs. One of the best stats of the game Sunday is that he only got sacked one time. That's Houdini. Because when he took snaps, guys, it was like a starter's pistol went off. Go. Find a way, get somewhere, make it happen. The problem they have is their identity is to run the football first, establish things, and throw off of it. I'm going to go Vin Scully, guys.
Uh-oh.
And Alex, in Russell Wilson's career, if he's thrown the ball 39 times or more in a game, Seattle is now, after Sunday, 2-7 in those games. That's not who they are.
Right.
So he's putting up big numbers, but they're not going to win that way. Plus, they lost Doug Baldwin during the game, so that's a top target. Jimmy Graham's got a bum ankle. He's not playing up to snuff. You see? They don't have those big-time targets to go to right now.
Right. You know, when you look at the Jaguars, they beat up on the Ravens 44-7, but guess what? Charles, nobody got to see the game because it was on Yahoo.
You weren't streaming?
No, I was not streaming. So when you say something like that, who are the Jaguars?
The Jaguars are a team that we've talked about for years as, hey, better look out for the Jaguars.
Yeah.
All right? They've been building through the draft. Some of their free agent pickups have been good. And then it feels like every year they let you down. Well, this was the year I heard more times than not, hey, you know, the Jaguars have been building, been doing things, but you know something? They usually end up 4-12.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Because people after a while got tired of sticking with them. Well, this looks like this was the year that maybe you want to stick with them. Getting Calais Campbell has helped the defense immeasurably. I think he got 1.5 more sacks this week after getting 4 on opening day. Dante Fowler's playing way better. Remember, a number one pick. Miles Jack is playing lights out. A second-round pick only because of a knee injury. Jalen Ramsey, a first-round pick, is playing very well out on the corner. So they've solidified things. Like right now, between Jalen Ramsey, A.J. Boye, who they got in free agency at the corner, that's two really good corners.
I'm right.
Talking about some of the best in the league. And their third corner, Aaron Colvin, has recovered from a knee injury to be a really good player. So the talent is there, especially on the defensive side. Blake Bortles at quarterback. If he plays like he did Sunday, and as you said, Doug, we didn't get to see it,
right?
So we're not sure it happened. The tree
this
fell,
is true.
Didn't make a sound, right? But I've heard in the stats, he had no turnovers and 4 touchdown passes. That's the Blake Bortles we thought we were going to get in 2016.
Exactly.
But he played in 2015. If we get more of that Blake Bortles, because now you got Fournette in the backfield with Chris Ivory, Lindner's the highest paid center in the league and plays at a high level. Cam Robinson from Alabama, the left tackle, is a rookie, is getting better. All of a sudden, we're starting to have something going here, okay? And now they're going to go chest-to-chest in a very tough AFC South now. They lost already to Tennessee, but they get them again. Indianapolis is struggling. And, of course, Houston is the class of the division because of the defense. Tennessee and Houston play this week. All of a sudden, the AFC South is a whole different deal.
Yep.
The Jaguars are 2-1.
Yep.
And now they've got a couple legitimate wins, too, when you think about it.
Charles, I'm going to give Doug some really good news, because this Sunday you can get up at 6:30 Pacific time.
Okay.
And you can actually turn on Fox, which you get at your home, and you can watch the great Kevin Burkhart and the great Charles Davis.
Yes, sir.
Call the Saints and the Dolphins from London.
I will do that.
And so, Charles, there you go. Doug will not be asking
that.
You. Yeah, exactly. Have you been to London before?
I love that. Listen, I've never been to London before. This is my first time.
Awesome.
And here's the other thing, Doug. If there is streaming of this game,
uh-huh.
It's okay, because you actually can turn on a TV, as Grant just said.
Yes.
So people can stream, people can watch, whatever it is. But this is my first time to London.
That's awesome.
I'm really excited about going. I can't wait to go. And I promised myself, I made a vow, because my number one thing is work first.
Okay.
I made a vow that I'm going to be efficient in my work for once. And I actually will see a few of the things that are there for us.
Great.
In London, because it'd be a crime to go to London.
Yep.
And come back and go, well, I saw Wembley Stadium because I was there to do the game. That's pretty much it.
Now, does Mrs. Davis get to accompany you to London?
Yes, she does. And she has been to London. And I've noticed that I think she actually laminated a sheet tonight that tells me what I've got in store for me. So
well done. Well done.
That's a classic.
You know, like the coaches' play sheets?
Yeah.
You know, they laminated in case of weather. I think I'm going to get a laminated copy that will be given to me on the plane.
Oh, I love it. That is great.
Any Harlan Coben books going with you? Because I downloaded one just recently, Home. I haven't got a chance to go through it yet.
Oh, you're going to read Home?
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, you know, tomorrow his latest book drops.
Oh, so it will be going to London.
Tomorrow is the latest one that drops. I've been lucky enough.
He gets a preview of these, Doug.
Yeah,
he gets it before anybody else does.
Excuse me.
I'm like a little kid when I say that. And I will tell you a true story. We had a very good friend who was a former, very successful high school coach in Southern California. He reads like all of us do, okay? Like we're exchanging books and, you know, what you're reading, all that. He and I, you know, he's right in there with us. And so he's a huge Harlan Coben fan. And so every time I get the book in advance, I take a picture with me smiling and send it.
Love it.
And so I got a picture back from him with a middle finger. So I'm not quite sure what he meant by that.
he was just saying you're number one.
Yeah, he wanted to tell you you're number one in his eyes.
But Doug, tomorrow, Don't Let Go drops. So ready to rock and roll. Harlan is back.
Well, that is awesome. Before I let you go, you know, I don't want Doug to give me a hard time the rest of the week, because I asked you a question about the Seahawks with the New York Football Giants being 0-3. But I got to tell you, and I don't know how you would handle this on TV, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I was disgusted by what Odell Beckham did because of what I perceive as selfishness. And, like, it's always about, hey, look at me, look at me, look at me. And you and I have talked about him over the past few years. And now we're talking about a guy that's a veteran. He's in his fourth year. This is a premeditated act, and it cost the team 15 yards. I'm not saying the Giants lost yesterday because of Odell Beckham. That's not why they lost. But I'm just wondering how much longer an organization is going to put up with this.
I think that I learned something. You know Bob Sutton? You know that name?
Yes, Bob Sutton.
He used to be the head coach at Army in football, and now he's the defense coordinator at Kansas City Chiefs. We were talking about Travis Kelce. Super talented tight end for Kansas City. And in the first two games of the year, he got personal fouls. I mean, he just, you know, post-possession, taunting someone. You know, remember he took the ball and shoved it between the legs of that guy in New England when he was on the bottom of the pile. That's kind of who Travis is, a super emotional player, but God, is he productive, right? And we were talking about different things and all that, and Coach Sutton just looked at us and, you know, that wise grin of many years of doing it, and he said, well, you do realize that with production comes patience. And that's what happens with a lot of these guys. And Odell Beckham, because of the great production, you're a little more – and patience not the right word. You don't want him doing it. You're talking to him. I'm quite sure that all the way up to the Maras and the Tishes, that they're going to have conversations with Odell. But he produces at such a high rate that you're going to have those conversations and talk to him, as opposed to if he were producing at a Charles Davis rate, they would have cut him already. And that's where it is, because they've got to get this thing figured out, that you don't need to go and do all this extra stuff, because the look at me, it's just catching the football, because the whole world's captivated when you're out on the field. We look for Odell Beckham Jr., even without the extraneous. I just look for him on the field because when he goes and makes a play, it's gorgeous to watch.
Yeah, no question.
It really is. So I don't need the rest of it. And the idea that he's going to urinate, and I mean, somewhere Randy Moss is like, where's the real outcry? You know, when I did this, the Panthers people lost their mind. Joe Buck went absolutely berserk. And
yeah, he did.
This actually seems muted, and I think part of it is Odell's actually lowered the bar, and that's unfortunate. Yeah. He's lowered the bar because we're like, well, how many other things has he done? What's next?
In Charles, in a great game, more impressed by the Falcons or the Lions?
I'm actually more impressed by the Falcons because they found a way to win.
Mm-hmm.
And the Super Bowl hangover and the Super Bowl slump is real, and they've had to deal with it.
Okay.
We had them in the opener, and I thought, Doug, it was really important for them not just to win the game, but to find a way to grit one out, and they did.
Okay.
Because you remember, the Bears had a chance to beat them. They had dropped one in the end zone. Jordan Howard, you know, turned his head. But they found a way to win a tight one and didn't blow a lead. And I think that that was huge for their confidence. Add this one in where they found a way to win and didn't blow another lead. That's another one that they don't have to answer those questions, because I went back to Chicago and thought, hey, if they lose this one, they go to their home opener, open up their new stadium, Green Bay's coming to town, and so are Al, Chris, and Michelle. What do you think that chatter would have been that week if Chicago had scored on that drive?
Oh, boy, no kidding.
Because they were up 10 in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
So they were able to get that behind them twice now in the first 3 weeks. That's big for their psyche. That's why I'm saying a little more impressive. But here's the thing about Detroit. We're used to them being an up and down, make the playoffs, miss it the next two or three seasons, make the playoffs. This looks like a team that will contend strongly again for a playoff spot. I was glad to see Jim Caldwell get the contract extension, because I think that he deserves it.
Mm-hmm.
I think this team likes playing for him. And that loss on Sunday, that's not one that you're going to sit there and go, oh, same old Lions. They were that close to getting in.
Yes, they were.
The rule prevented them from getting one more shot at the end zone.
Charles, have yourself a fabulous time in London, and we will you know, ask for a full scouting report
next week
when we have you on.
I look forward to giving it, and I'll try my best not to sing Ron Burgundy, Baxter and I are going to London Town on the way there, so I'll see what I can do.
You're the best, Charles. Guys.
You take care. Take care, okay?
Yep. Appreciate you.
That's great stuff right there. Charles Davis, the NFL on Fox, and we'll come back, and we'll continue right here, Sports 1140 KHTK.